Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everyone. This is Carl Shinneman, president and founder of ReviewLess, and welcome to another edition of ESI Bytes, where we offer information from national speakers and electronic discovery at a price everyone can afford, which is free and available when they're interested in listening to it. So it's just whenever you hit download and hit play on your computer or your iPad or iPod or whatever device you use. Today we have an interesting sort of impromptu, spontaneous show about a new e-discovery education initiative of offering essentially an online summer school option for law students to take e-discovery courses. And I was approached by Bill Hamilton to talk about this. Bill is head of e-discovery at Quarles & Brady, and he teaches law school at the University of Florida and is dean of the e-discovery department at Bryan University, teaching online e-discovery courses. And this is a Bryan University type of a program partnering with the University of Florida at Levin College of Law to offer this new program. So why don't we start talking about it, Bill? First of all, tell me how the idea came about to offer this course.
Well, thanks a lot, Carl, and thanks for the invitation to join you today. It's always a pleasure, and we all appreciate what you're doing with your podcast and keeping us abreast of the contemporary events and what's happening out there. This came about really thinking about law students. I don't think it's a surprise to any of your listeners that the law school environment, the employment market, is not strong right now. We have law students with a significant amount of debt, who are trying to find jobs. And the thought occurred to us is, what can law students do during the summer that can help distinguish themselves, that can help kind of motivate employers to look more closely at their credentials? And we've been teaching e-discovery in a project management program. And we thought, why don't we adapt that for the summer for law students so they can take advantage of enhancing their legal credentials during the summer, when frankly, unfortunately, law clerking positions are less abundant than they used to be, especially for students completing the first year. Even students completing the second year, and the program is also available for graduates in 2013. So this is an online program we've designed in our data and application laboratory for students to come in and learn e-discovery using tools and skills and techniques from the ground up, if you will, which we think will be a real a distinguishing point for them, but more importantly, a real contribution to advancing the practice of e-discovery out in the field.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember when I tried to start a side project a couple of years ago, a law blog review, and it didn't work. We just didn't get the law students excited about it, or maybe we didn't build the right platform. But from the students I spoke to that were interested in it, one of their biggest pain points was getting their law schools to actually teach e-discovery. And I've faced it firsthand. I pitched the idea to a law school that I'm nearby and got turned down. And not every law school offers this. And it is an area where technology and law, intersect, where there's a shortage of people that have a grasp on how to do this. It makes sense. You're opening up the market. You don't have to wait for your law school to actually go out and get some exposure to this. To me, it's a no-brainer. It sounds like a great idea. How did you pick the, you've put together a group of people. It's a village. It's not an individual. What was your thought process in the types of people that you asked to come in and help teach the course and cover, the range of skills you need to know?
Actually, Carl, we've been working in the e-discovery field, as you know, for some time now. Bryan University has been offering an e-discovery project management online course. It's a 7.5-month course for the past year and a half. And in the process of doing that, what we've built out is a data and applications laboratory. We've nicknamed it ELSA. But it's an applications laboratory where We've had vendors come in who have volunteered to allow us to use their software in our laboratory. So what we turned to right away was, who are the vendors that we've been working with, the legal service providers, where we have their software set up and running in our data and applications laboratory that the students can access. The other component was taking the EDRM model, and EDRM and George Socia, are part of this offering as well, and pick out the core provisions of the EDRM model that we think law schools have a difficult time teaching because they don't have access to the kind of laboratory we have. And I've been teaching e-discovery at the University of Florida for 6 years now, and we're blessed there with a wonderful dean who's very supportive. The law school doesn't have the infrastructure and the technology and the manpower to run a laboratory. At least at this stage it doesn't, nor do any other law schools that I'm aware of. So the idea here was not to do something that would be in competition with law schools, but to supplement and encourage law schools to offer e-discovery education. So what we're using is our traditional Bryan faculty that I've been teaching over the past year and a half, and these are full-time e-discovery practitioners at major firms. We'll be teaching 1 week on processing, then the next week, on search, the next week on review, and the final week on production. And so we have our instructors that will be doing that, and we've combined them with a visiting professor from the vendors and the software we'll be using. So that will be law in the first week with LexisNexis. Martin O'Day is going to be teaching in the first week on NUIX. The next week, we have a team from Relativity coming in and working with Mike Quartararo, our regular professor from Strukstrup and Levan. The next week, Denise Talbot from Shook Hardy is going to be teaching at a regular faculty member. But Ian Campbell's coming in from iConnect as a visiting professor to work with the iConnect Xera. And then finally, the last week, George Socia, is going to teach that with Brian Ingram working on concordance. So those are the tools we picked. And we picked those tools, one, because we have relationships with the legal service providers, but also, we wanted this to be an enhancement of the law students' employment opportunities, to be straightforward about it. And
yeah,
we thought these were the tools that were very prevalent in the industry. And for a law student to say, I've got experience and knowledge handling these tools, would be a plus no matter where they're going. So that's the broad stroke view, Carl, of how we put it together and what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, it sounds like a really practical, almost trade school approach to, nuts and bolts, which, hits at the spot where I think law schools have a challenge maybe offering these courses, is they don't smell or feel like contracts or torts. It's more like lifting up the hood of the car and trying to figure out the pieces and what's broke and how to make it work. So I think it's a great first step. I personally believe it does belong in the law schools to reach more people. But I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. This adds marketability to the law students in a tough market and gives them some exposure to how the process works, which is messy. It involves tools. Do you have any broader goals? Because one of the challenges that, I've been doing some educating with the boot camps around the country, trying to get people to understand predictive coding and the statistics behind it, is how to plant the seed, not that this is the five steps that we go through, but these are the challenges that we have, and when you go into the market, maybe you should be not just doing what we're doing, but trying to figure out new ways to do what we're doing. I know you got to start somewhere, but do you include that into your curriculum at all, that we're in the Wild West type of a thing, and you may come up with better solutions?
Yeah, it's kind of funny you should mention nuts and bolts. That was kind of one of the, early potential names we were thinking about for the program. but it's more than that. Of course, we're working with lawyers and potential lawyers. So the idea here is, in working with the various processing tools, say Law or Newick on the front end, what lawyers need to understand is what happens in processing and the key decisions that have to be made in terms of processing. Are we going to use stop words? What stop words are we going to use? How are we going to denist? Where are we going to get the denist list from? Can we figure out other kinds of our own self-created missed list to use to cull down the documents early on in the process? So what we're trying to do is train and introduce lawyers to the kinds of decisions they have to make by using the very tools or examples of the very tools they'll have to be using. And to pick up on your point going forward, Carl, we think, the next phase might be, to take a short program like this and move it to law firms we think would be interested in training young associates on this and haven't had the benefit of your program or the benefit of law school courses on a quick immersion program 1 month to make sure they've got it right at the start of their careers, and the same things potentially with corporations. I mean, we're all in the business of trying to get this right and trying to increase the quality of legal services that are being provided generally. I mean, one of my big themes is, and I know it's the same with you, is, at risk here is our civil dispute resolution process. We've got to get this right or people are going to lose faith in our court system. So we're in it together. And we think this experiment this summer might be a first step towards, moving it more into law firms and into corporations.
Well, it's a fascinating initiative and one I think well worth supporting. It's one of the reasons I stopped working on the projects I am and said, hey, let's do a podcast, which may be the way the podcasts go until I slow down a little bit here with some of the other work I'm doing. How do people find out about this? Because I would encourage listeners to forward this to, nieces, nephews, friends of family, people that are, are in law school, but where are they pointing them to look at to get more information?
Well, we have a website that's up, and it's located at Bryan University. So simply point your search tool, Bing or Google, whatever, and just search Bryan University eDiscovery Summer School, and you'll go right to the site.
It is like ESI Bytes with a Y. It's Bryan with a Y.
Yes, exactly. The actual URL is Bryan University, no dots, /e-discovery-summer-program. But if you just Google Bryan University Summer School eDiscovery, it'll pop right up for you. And it's a real quick sign up and online. By the way, we're limiting it to 25 students. So, because it's an online synchronous meeting with two professors, and we're going to offer it every day during the week, that is Monday through Thursday for 2 hours. There'll also be some homework assignments naturally where the students will have their own logins to all the software we'll make available to them to do various exercises and play in the sandbox. So in June it'll go for 1 month, again, 2 hours a night, Monday through Thursday for 4 weeks. And we think we're going to produce out of this some really great people with some exceptional skill sets.
Well, that sounds great. I wish you the best of luck with it. I think that's probably all we need to cover on this very short show. So is there anything else you want to add?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you. It's always fun, Carl. You're a great host, and by the way, thanks for everything you're doing with your boot camps, and I wish you all the success in the world for that.
Yeah, no, I'm going to mention one thing about the boot camp if people listen to the short show. We've decided to reduce the price from $150 for the 3 CLE credits to $75 for young associates or contract attorneys that want to attend in the cities that we're doing this at. And, the judges who've been very supportive trying to grow education, what I pointed out to them is Not everyone can afford to spend thousands of dollars to fly out to hear you talk in D.C. The people we need to educate are the people that, you know, can't afford to do that. You know, would you make yourself available through technology to talk to these people? And I've gotten widespread support. I mean, everyone wants to help in education, I think, that understands the problem. You know, so I appreciate the plug on your end for what we're doing, and we'll see how it goes. These are all experiments. We're all trying to improve education. So thanks for mentioning that. So, Bill, thanks for joining us here at ESI Bytes. It's always a pleasure to have you and experts like you share your knowledge with us and our listeners, and hopefully we'll be able to do some more shows with you later this year. And I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Jernov, for their continued support of ESI Bytes. To the listeners, if you've enjoyed the podcast, I'd encourage you to go to www.esibytes.com with a Y for a complete list of our show. You can remember the show and website phonetically. It sounds out as ESI Bytes or Easy Bytes of ESI information, however you choose to remember us. Come to ESI Bytes to learn more about eDiscovery before ESI bites you back. This is Carl Schinneman, president and founder of ReviewLess, wishing you a nice day.